Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi.
And Jenny. Hey, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Heather. Hello, Heather.
Hello, everyone.
So we are into week four. There are five Wednesdays in October, so we get five out of this world chaos reads this month.
Mm-hmm. You've loved every second.
Every second. Ours are seconds I
if
can't
anybody
get back.
Can tell by the sip and discuss of October, this is not Becky's comfort zone.
It's not, but we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it because this is not my comfort zone, but I'm up for the challenge. Also, if you listened to last week's episode, we talked about how Samantha Whiskey's book, there was an audiobook. Her deal was announced this week. That entire series is getting audio and should start dropping in January.
Oh, that's nice.
So I thought that was exciting.
I told you, like, her audios typically come later.
Yeah, she sold to Tantor, so they should be available everywhere too, which is always nice. So welcome to this episode of Buzzing About Romance. For tonight's episode, we are, again, out of this world. Tonight's book was our October Buzzing Book Club pick. And I think that this author suggestion came from Heather.
Mm-hmm. That was me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. because Heather went on a kick in the early 2024 that she did not want real men anymore.
No, I was over them. I wanted aliens.
No more contemporary men for Heather.
Yeah. And I like the whole sort of like accidental, like, I don't know, you know, like a bride.
Being like, tricked into marriage.
Yeah. I just happen to be a bride.
Yeah. No, I do like that.
Like an oopsie wedding.
Like the mail order without the consent.
Yeah. That. I don't know. That doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother her.
I don't think a lot of things bother you, though.
Nope.
So tonight's episode, we are discussing Wed to the Alien Warlord by January Bell. Like I said, this was our October Buzzing Book Club pick. We had book club last Saturday, and January Bell joined us. She was a delight.
I'm so sad that I had to parent and miss it.
She was a delight, and it was a really good discussion. So if you have not read January Bell, we 10 out of 10 pick recommend her. But I actually, she just released an orc book in time for the holidays, and I read it.
Cute. I actually read the first one, and now I'm reading the orc.
Are you really? That is so outside your zone.
I know.
The first book was Fae's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
They're all in the same little world.
Yeah, it's like a little small town, cozy little, yeah.
Yeah.
Wild Oak or whatever?
Yeah, something like that.
Wild Oak Wood, yes.
Anyway, I love an orc. Yeah. And this is the thing that's interesting. I can get behind an orc. But you put it in outer space and I start to not figure it out.
That's the thing. Like, you will read orcs. You will read minotaurs. You will read, like...
Speaking of minotaurs, do you see my edges of the Ruby Dixon book?
I did. It's very, very pretty.
You read about couch and door shifters. Like, I'm sorry.
But aliens is too much.
The couch didn't shift. The couch was possessed by a demon, and it sucked in a dolphin porn-loving nasty man.
In a vacuum. I mean, like,
I did not read the vacuum.
I read the vacuum. Read the vacuum.
And none of us
balloon animals. I did the balloon animals.
Jenny read the vacuum, and then none of us could do it after she talked about it. That's the thing. You read a lot of weird books. Not that the rest of us don't also, but you have like a hang up when it comes to aliens, which I do not understand.
Aliens, to be honest, aliens and vampires. And I did like the Susan Wright book. Like, I liked it. I just had questions that didn't get answered, but I liked it.
But it's not real. That's the whole point, is it's not real. And so it's a step away from reality and be like, this would be fun. I could have sex with an alien and it would be fine because I'm in this ultra different world. You know?
I believe this is the out of context quote for the episode from Heather. I can have sex with an alien.
There's a sticker for you.
Nice.
Well, put it on a t-shirt for her.
Although, I mean, I can admit though, like, aliens are not my favorite. And I'm just realizing that, like, because I don't read a lot. I like Anna Hackett's, but it's not my go-to. But I will read, like, some vampires, some shifters, some weirdo fae. Like, I don't care, but I don't know what it is.
I have found I'm super picky about my aliens.
Maybe that's it.
We're picky.
Like, I'm very picky. Like, I will read a vampire. I will read a witch. I will read the orcs. I will read all that stuff. But aliens, like, I enjoy them, but I'm very picky about my alien romances.
And I am the complete opposite, where I'm like, an orc? No, thanks. Give me an alien. Sign me up. Are you blue? Cool. Green with scales? So,
but a green, just like, giant is not okay?
I'm just not down with a Shrek.
Wait, has anybody done a jolly green giant? Yeah.
What? I don't know. I'm still lost with that. I'm not down with this wreck.
Somebody has.
Have they? Because I would read that. Because
I'll have to find it, but yes, they have.
Okay.
Okay. We have gone off the rails very early tonight.
Yeah. I mean, nobody is surprised by this, though.
Okay, Heather, you're up. Tell us the things we need to know.
Okay, so things to know before we start. The release date of this book was July 7th, 2022. Subgenre is sci-fi romance. The trope is language barrier, married couple, marriage contract, forced marriage, over-the-top hero. Series name is Accidental Alien Brides. This is book number one. Series of standalones. Point of view is dual first person. Pop percentage is 51%. Audiobook narrators was Mason Lloyd and Holly Jackson. This book is available in Kindle Unlimited.
The audiobook was very well done.
I like Mason Lloyd. I feel like he would translate to Alien very well.
I went up to only like 1.25.
That's pretty good.
So their pacing was there, but I think that this story as a whole was paced very well. Things moved. There wasn't a moment in this book where I could stop and be like, what the fuck does that even mean? Or,
it did move along like, well.
Yeah, there was never, like, with the Zoe Draven alien book, there were a couple times where I'm like, huh? Why are we doing this again? But this book, they're just, the way she moves things, like when you would start to think that we were onto something new. Usually mostly sex.
It's true. They were really horny for each other once they started having sex.
Yeah, they were.
I mean, it's an alien book and he has a vibrating thing. So.
Yes.
I was going to say, he's got some extra accoutrement.
It's his Zoff.
Excuse me, Ollie. That's what it's called. Ollie has opinions about that too now, apparently. You guys couldn't
and
hear
him. And he's scaly. You know? And husband school, can we just say? Yes.
Sorry, I don't know what's going on in my house right now.
Like, husband school is the best thing I've read. So.
So you want to send your husband to school?
I don't think it's a terrible idea.
Amanda wouldn't eat for a week if you sent Jeremy to school.
No, he would
have to pack her like pre-made meals before he went.
Yeah, he does.
And I feel like Jenny already like sends her husband to school every day.
I'm used to being like a solo parent like 50% of the time, so no problem.
Okay, so let's talk Wedded to the Alien Warlord. Heather started with the husband school, but overall, like, what it, because one of our complaints previous with aliens was the world building, how time moved, how things functioned. While I don't think there was tons of world building, I feel like basic questions were answered in this book. I wasn't like, that doesn't work. Tell me how this works.
Well, like the most basic question, why are they there? We got that answer right away.
Mm-hmm. Right. Within like the first couple of pages. Yeah.
Although
what they thought was the like reason was not the actual reason.
Yeah, right. But we even get that. Yeah.
I do feel
I liked that kind of like angle of that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that deception, that misinformation mm-hmm. piece. I think it added tension.
How it would happen.
It is very realistic. Yeah.
Very.
Oh,
I do think that this book reads a little bit like a romanticized Star Trek.
Oh.
Okay.
Because they're going out exploring, like, as a group from their main, you know, like, it had Federation-type vibes.
I mean.
Oh.
I could see that.
I mean, they are part of something. The Federation.
Yeah. Well, but I meant, like, Star Trek Federation.
Yeah.
Well, if this is what Star Trek is like, I'd probably start watching it.
I think there's a little.
I'm sure there's a porn that's a version.
There's not as much sex. Heather, you would not
like those aliens.
Probably not.
Okay.
I was kind of waiting for a couple of red shirt jokes in the book. Hmm. Like, because, you know, the red shirts are always the guys that die on Star Trek.
Yeah.
So I was waiting for some red shirt jokes. Anyway, you know, initial premise, the Federation is sending women to form an alliance with the Suvians for their tech, but they actually have been sold as brides. So
For the tech.
For the tech. Consent here is kind of gray, but it didn't bug me because I don't feel like the women were pressured or forced.
They're not forced into sexual relations, like. I mean, we don't know the other stories yet, but they are very very clear about like not doing anything that the women
make
are
them uncomfortable.
Yeah, that was one of the like things I liked the best about this book was like he's always like, men act like this on your planet, like what is wrong with your species.
There was always like a check-in with her, like, is this okay, like can I continue this, like are you sure this is what you want to do? And the fact that like I really like his character in the fact that like he let her be this stubborn strong woman, but then he did call her out, was like, you need to stop because you are being too stubborn at this point, like it's gonna like be detrimental to your health.
And I didn't think about it, but I guess it's really forced matchmaking. It's kind of, this is a matchmaking romance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and again, I do think some of these alien romances very much have the vibes and the feels of the old bodice ripper historical romances.
Yeah, they definitely do.
And I feel like modern day you can get away with it because it's an alien.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all know that even as a dark romance, you know, you could probably get away with some of those bodice ripper vibes, but probably not like some of them. I mean,
well, but dark, it's one of those like you give it a lot of grace because it's a dark romance. So like consent, like okay things, like there's a lot more gray than like there is.
Well,
like,
I'm just thinking contemporary. So there's a Joanna Lindsay book where they're Vikings, they go to her seaside town that's a Celtic town, and she's kidnapped and enslaved, and he keeps her in chains, and you know, you couldn't sell that story now.
Yeah, that'd be a little difficult.
But I think you could sell it as an alien.
But that's the thing, if it was an alien or an orc or
a
jolly green giant,
like
it would work.
A vampire, it works.
Yeah,
I just think it's interesting because what was previous acceptable, the 70s, the 80s, you wouldn't necessarily see in a contemporary, right now written romance, unless it's like really dark or this paranormal sci-fi out of this world kind of mentality.
Yeah. I never really considered that, I guess. Like that checks, actually.
Yeah. I mean, do you honestly think a contemporary romance with a forced matchmaking would sell?
No. I think it would sell, but I think it would cause a lot of waves.
Yeah.
Yeah, there would have to be a good reason for it. Yeah. Like kind of like political alliance or like, they're trying to, there's an end goal of matchmaking.
But I think that anytime you have the word forced, it automatically probably is going to be into that gray, dark.
Yeah, I think if it was done right, then it could work. But I think if somebody did write it in the contemporary world, it's one of those books where people are going to want to hate it. Like, it's the love to hate type of thing, or like they're reading it to see like what it's all about. Like, I don't think it would be received well, but I think people would clamor to read it at the same time.
Amanda, I know consent for you can sometimes be an issue. Did this one bother you at all?
No, and I think it's, you know, goes back to what Jenny and Leo are both saying, is like, he checks in with her constantly. Like, I don't feel like there's no consent issue between the two of them. There's a consent issue, you know, by the fact that her world sold her to him. But, you know, as soon as he finds out about it, like, he's not okay with that either. So, like, I didn't have any problem with it.
So a little bit before we get into the actual characters, I wanted to talk about the pacing a little bit. While, yes, I think this book moves really okay, this author has a repetitiveness to her writing style. Like, I felt we could have spent half the time in the forest survival plot part. Like, because it felt like every day was exactly the same.
Well, and there wasn't a lot happening. Like, that was one of my biggest gripes with the book, is like, they were moving and like going to like the city, but like in that whole like journey, like, there wasn't a lot going on. Really? She's
passed out for like 4 days and then
And then they're in the cave for like 3 or 4 days, and it's like,
I feel like there could have been more external threat.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, because they were talking about like that like big animal that like was coming, like, but it never showed up. Like, they moved on from the cave and it was like far away. It's like there just wasn't enough action in like the story for me. And it didn't have to be like big or anything like that, but like, I just
more danger, maybe.
Yeah, like like the big animal thing was like closing in on them and like they had to like hide from it or something like that. I mean just little things like that I think would have made it more intriguing for me.
Okay, well, let's get on to the characters. Let's talk about Nikki. She is our female main character. She started out really strong and dynamic. But I think Amanda said her stubbornness and her obsession with her title started.
I think that was Leah.
Or was it Leah that said that? Like, it was her stubbornness. I just was like, okay, we got it. You're going to hold your ground. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Let's move on.
Mm-hmm. But if you think like a military person is going to be that way.
True.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah.
Her rank means a lot. I agree. I didn't, like, after a point, I was like, okay, I get you're stubborn. Like, seriously. But I live with two really stubborn people. And sometimes I'm like, hey, build a bridge and get over it.
Right.
Like, what the hell?
It's kind of like the grumpy hero or the grumpy heroine. Like, we get it, you're grumpy. Can we move on and have something else to identify ourselves
with? Yeah, it's like, grumpy is not like the only like emotion that you can have.
Right.
Yes.
You can be grumpy and still be hungry or something. Usually I'm grumpy because I am hungry.
I mean, hangry is a real thing.
Mm-hmm. What did we think of Draz's character?
So he's supposed to be this warlord, but he seemed very not.
He was too soft.
He was very soft.
Very soft.
Like, ooey, gooey, squishy cinnamon roll. Like, okay.
Yeah.
This is the type of hero I struggle with.
I needed
with.
More gruffness.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely, like, the Sour Patch. Like, looks intimidating, can kill some people. Apparently can, like, tear out spines.
Did you say he's a Sour Patch?
Yeah, he's...
Haven't like, you heard the hero? A Sour Patch Kid before?
No, I've never heard that term. So
Jenny says it a lot.
And I do love Sour Patch Kid, but apparently not in my book.
Yeah.
It was like he's supposed to be alien warlord and like fierce and intimidating and feared. But like, seriously, was a marshmallow on her shoe?
Yeah. I mean, and like the only time we really got that was like when they were fighting those guys, like fighting the aliens that like came after them. But it's like, even then it was like,
he did the killing, like
she did. Yes. Like,
I mean, he like ends it, but yeah.
I mean, I don't mind having a fierce heroine and her being the one that does all of that, but
I agree.
But like, it just didn't jive with him being some big bad warlord, I think.
Well, and we often get angry at the damsel in distress who feels a little too stupid to live. He was a dude in distress that sometimes I thought was a little too stupid to live.
Yeah, well, I had the same thought.
She talks about how like they studied him, like the people like of this world before they went there, and like they saw video of him like being this vicious like monster basically.
Yeah.
And then you meet him and he's like rubbing up against her, and like they're just like,
I love you.
It's like this weird mesh that doesn't mesh correctly.
If Traz was a real life alien in your world, Heather, you would be so annoyed by him. You'd be pushing him down the stairs. You'd be like, dude, get off my leg.
I love how he called her my heart, where he was like, yes, my heart. I love that.
Which, that was nice, but I just needed him to be more.
Yeah. You would tell him to get off your leg, Heather.
You'd be like, potentially, maybe.
Likely. Yeah,
maybe. But that, I didn't hate him, but no. You're right. I kind of wanted him to be a little bit more like, you know,
warlord,
and like, yeah,
like be able to get out of the restraints would have been nice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, they call him like the brute or something. Isn't that his nickname, the brute?
No, that's the next
or is
guy,
that the other guy?
Yeah.
But didn't he have a nickname?
I can't remember.
I don't know if he did or not. I don't remember,
but either way, like, I feel like he did, but I can't remember.
I just wanted him to own the room, to be commanding. Yeah. I don't think I didn't dislike him. I didn't dislike him.
Right.
It was just, he was a good boy.
He was. That's the thing. He was a good boy.
He just needed to be in the corner a lot because, seriously, get off my leg. Like, that's like, every time they talk about him, like
a branch.
Like, every time they talk about him, like, touching her or, you know, rubbing next to her, and so I just kept thinking, is he humping her leg?
He's humping her leg.
I confused him with the cat at some point. The cat like character.
Oh,
I did. I was skimming apart and I had to go back and look. I was like, is that him or the cat?
Like, oh, a spider dog or something. Like, that's
so funny.
Got eight eyes.
So what did we think about the romantic part of this story? Their chemistry as a couple, their relationship. I think there are times and moments within this relationship it felt a little disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that goes into the whole forced matchmaking
piece. Well, and there's that language barrier. Yes, she had a transmitter, but like the verbiage, like English verbiage and like what he could understand, like was there's that language barrier and like things were lost in translation as usual. Mm-hmm. So I think if you hadn't had that little bit of disconnect, it wouldn't have seemed as genuine because it would have been too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he admired her too. Like, I think he probably grew to admire her more. Like, yeah, she was super stubborn, but he was like, you know, you are a good leader. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he valued her too. And I think that was, I really liked that about him. He didn't downplay her.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other thoughts? Oh, go ahead, Jen.
Well, she kind of loses her, like, I mean, her mind with the psychotic
snails.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, like, plays a part in it too. Like,
Yeah.
She's high and makes poor decisions.
I mean, as one does.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that there were a couple of missed plot opportunities, but not plot holes.
Mm-hmm.
I think we spent a lot of time. It's interesting because I think that this was January Bell's first alien romance. And I'm curious. What?
I said, oh, was it? I didn't realize that.
I think it might have been, especially when she talked at book club. I feel like this was the book that she decided, because she actually has two other pen names that she writes under. And she has a book in her other pen name that comes out in February with Berkeley, I think. So this was, she was inspired by Ice Planet Barbarians and thought, you know what? I really need something that's fun and light and not so much work. Because if you're a querying author, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And so she started writing these. And so I wonder if that's some of the complaint with the, my complaint with the plot or the pacing and stuff. Because I think we spent a lot of time on a lot of non-essential things, like the jungle scenes, shopping with the mother-in-law, rather than exploring world-building stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we
can... But also, but in those scenes, though, it kind of creates, like, this relationship with the people that, like, I don't think if we had gotten more world-building, it would have, we would have gotten that, like, relationship.
How many books are in this series?
8 or 9.
I think there's one for each of the girls.
Oh, yeah.
Right, because I remember her saying, like, at book club, like, it was getting difficult to write them towards the end, and I wonder if we get more of that. Like, there seems to be an overarching...
Right, because this book ends, so, and we don't get the trials.
Right, yeah, there's, like... And it sounds like the other women are going to go to the other parts of the planet with their...
Well, and book two follows, like, the prince and Jen on their, like, journey. Book three is that Bex chick who, like, really wanted to do her alien, but did not want to do her.
I read that. I wanted to do a reread and, you know.
Life. It's okay. Does anyone else?
Yeah, I think she gives, like, you know, some time for, like, things. I mean, she's got 8 books to put some stuff into.
Yeah.
But I do feel like we got more in this book than we did with the Zoe Draven book for world building. So I didn't mind the world building so much. Like, I thought it was better than that. And it was kind of, you know, she kind of likens it to a jungle. So I felt like there were, and then a cat like creature. So I feel like she had enough kind of similar situations to something we would know to make it kind of seem believable.
Yeah, I would agree. Even like when they get to his city, like the way she explains it, like you can easily visualize it with like other futuristic things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like this series kicked off with this book. I didn't feel like, I know that with the Zoe Draven book, I think it was Leah said, you know, it gets better at book three.
It does.
Uh-huh. I felt like this was a really great book one, because if I was into aliens, then, you know, book two was interesting. Now, I liked her writing style. I read the orc book. I don't think aliens are my thing, so I'll probably go back and read the fae book. But I feel like there was enough given to us in this book one to have really big expectations for the next book. Where the Zoe Draven book, it was easy to shut it and be like, okay, not for me.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to keep reading this series. Like, I really liked it.
Yeah. Is there anything else about this book that anybody wants to talk about? Oh, do you want to talk about the vibrating piece?
That was a nice touch.
Well, and he had, like, knobs on his, like, wang, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we can say penis. We can't
say none of their females, like, that they only orgasm, like, one time.
Yeah.
They're females.
Only like, when they're fertile. They get pregnant,
right? When they're fertile. You know, and I was like, yeah.
Man.
Only when they take the seed.
Yeah. That was so he took that as a challenge.
Like, I had an issue with that word also, because he was saying it a lot.
A lot.
Like, a lot. And I'm like, ooh, yeah.
Actually, when I read that, I thought, God, every male, like, in a lot of romance books, they're obsessed with the product that they, you know, emit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, even the aliens are obsessed with the product.
Most of the aliens have like a somewhat of a breeding kink. So
yeah.
Well, I mean, at least he has a reason for one. Like,
this is true.
His species is about to go extinct.
It's a product.
Yeah, I had a little bit of the ick factor when he kept calling it the seed as well.
And nobody, I like that she asked what the pieces were for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Instead of like with the Zoe.
Just accepting that it was
like,
part
of
it.
Yeah, like, yeah.
She did like the tail though also because the tail was in there.
Yeah.
Well, and he, like, when he said, like, I'm ready, you know, like, for a baby, and she was like, what? And, like, you know, they're in it, and he totally respected her.
Yes.
That I really appreciate. Like, that, too, I liked. Of course, this is the moment the 14-year-old locks in to get his computer.
Amber says she likes that he respected and pulled out.
Every time, too.
He did. He pulled a Duke of Hastings.
He did pull a Duke of Hastings. Seeds, Duke of Hastings, knobs, whatever.
Vibrating knobs at that.
The seed. Yeah. We got it all around here. Mm-hmm. I am going to try to figure out how to say the seed all the time now.
Oh, yeah. No.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Oh,
you're welcome.
I will stop answering your FaceTime calls.
No, you won't, because you never know what's going to happen when you answer that.
This is true.
Okay, so let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down, and then we can give book recs. Amanda, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'm going to go a sideways, and only because I just don't, like, I don't think aliens are my jam. But I think this is a really good book one, and like, if you like aliens, I think you would like it. So I'm just going to go neutral thumb.
Okay. Leah, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'm a sideways also. Like, I like an alien book, but this was definitely not my favorite. Like, I needed more, like, going on. Like, it just was, like, kind of slow. Not that the book was hard to get through or anything like that. I just, it was very meh for me.
Okay.
But I would read her again because her writing was very good. Her writing was very tight. Like, the style was nice. It just, this story just was not right.
Read the orcs is what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Heather, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I am going to say thumbs up, and I'm going to give two because if Lindsay were here, she would 100% agree with me.
She probably would have.
So I think this is a really great example of a good, like, well done alien.
Yeah.
Romance. Like, if this is your jam, she's your jam, and this is a really great series to read.
For sure. Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down?
I would say thumbs up for this one. The questions that I needed answered were answered, and I think it gives potential for it to build.
And I am a thumbs up. While I am not an alien reader, like, they're not for me. Like, I read the Ice Planet Barbarians, but, you know, I read those because of a different reason. Aliens are just not my jam. Out of this world, I struggle with it. But the writing and the pacing in this book made sense. Things that they were given made sense. There was purpose for things. It didn't feel tacked on. Yeah. And I kind of like the premise of the forced matchmaking. Mm-hmm. My only thought was he was too squishy to be called a warlord. This really should have been wed to the alien Sour Patch Kid.
I do like the Sour Patch analogy.
Yeah.
Ooh, I would read a Sour Patch Shifter.
Nope.
Do you remember when I suggested that we read the Rebecca Rennick books because they were called the Gummy Bear Orgy, and I thought for sure it was going to be Gummy Bear Switchers.
I thought there were going to be gummy bears in an orgy, but
they are good.
They are good stories, but no gummy bears.
No.
And no orgies.
Okay, if people like this book and want to explore more alien romances, who would you suggest? Does anybody have any? Someone added a list to the doc.
Oh, that was me. I added that today.
Okay.
So Erin Hale has a bunch of aliens, and I do believe she has some forced, like, mating ones, similar in the vein to this one. Tana Stone has a lot of aliens. Honey Phillips She has a forced alien marriage series. I came across it today. I haven't read that series, but I have read other things by her and I've enjoyed them. Roxy Ray has a co-written series, but I can't remember who the co-written was because I lost my page today when I was looking. And then Millie Taden, she does a lot of Shifters, but she has a whole alien series as well. And I've always enjoyed her stories. So.
Millie Taden has it's called a Matchmakers Book Club series, which seems interesting.
Well, she does Shifters, but she is a shifter matchmaker, and it's the whole gamut of all types of shifters, and it's humans mating with shifters, and shifters mating with shifters, and there's thruples, and there's interspecies shifters. She has a lot of books.
How does that all work?
I mean, it works.
I questions too.
I recommended this before, but if you're not listening to me, do it. Victoria Aveline has really great alien books. Choosing Theo is a very great book, and she's a very sweet human. I am also going to recommend Tana Stone. Again, really like her as a person too.
Okay. Of course, I think Zoe Draven fits into this vein. Ruby Dixon fits into this vein. So if you are looking for more authors, those are some suggestions. Amanda or Jenny, do you have any other aliens since we have decided sci-fi is not for you?
I actually do have one. It's an older series by Deanna Chase, and it's called The Bayou Springs Alien Mail Order Brides.
Okay.
But they're on Earth. So aliens are on Earth. So okay. I think I'm okay with
romance that you like, Becky, because they come to us.
Yeah. And it's a little more on the cozier side of, because it's in Louisiana and I don't know. I think if I'm going to do aliens, I can handle on Earth or them being more human-like, but I can't do in space and completely different looking for whatever reason. I think I have to have a balance. Yeah, Anna Hackett, I recommend her books. I don't know.
Amanda, I did think of you when he bites off his
talons. Yes.
Oh my God.
I remember.
Amber also suggests Tasha Black, Lily Zander, Erin Hale, Ava Ross, and Carlotta Page as other alien authors to check out. Anyway, anything else? Any other alien recommendations?
I don't think so.
Okay. Next week we go with Monsters, which is more my jam.
Yes.
More my jam. You can find... I'm excited for next week's because I loved this series when I discovered it last year. And y'all laughed at me. I tried to get you to read it last year.
No, I've been wanting to read it. I just haven't. So I'm
just
glad
because we laugh at you does not mean we're not going to read them.
And my face is because I don't remember what book it is.
Well, I'm going to tell you here in a second. Okay, so don't forget to join us this Sunday when we'll bewitch you with all the fairy dust and magic as we dive into the Fae and Witch book recommendations just in time for Halloween. You will not want to miss it.
I am very excited.
I think Lindsay's joining us, and I promise to keep her more on track than last week. Plus, we're back next Wednesday with That Time I Got Drunk and Saved a Demon by Kimberly Lemming. And it's going to be so fun. I'm so excited for that. Also, on November 2nd, she's going to be at the Romance Con in Toledo, and I'm going to get to meet her.
That's going to be fun.
I'm so excited. Well, I just finished the arc of her book that comes out in February. And it is like a fevered Wizard of Oz dream
of
chaos. It's good.
It's something totally new. Oh, is it the one that has the dinosaur on the cover?
Yes. There are dinosaurs. There is time travel. And yes, it's chaotic, but it's very good. It's very good.
I feel like this fall has been really great for romance readers. There's been a lot of books, a lot going on.
Yeah. I think we'll see some slowdowns here the next couple weeks. And the holiday novellas are starting to drop. And I know Gretchen was asking earlier if anybody's compiling a list. We are, but our list will come out with our November 24th episode, I think is when we're going to talk about our holiday TBRs. Also, if you're part of our Patreon, we're getting geared up to make the decision of our December episodes. Three people commented because I asked for holiday movies that they loved. And everybody was like, something and The Holiday. Yep. The Holiday and something. Uh-huh. And it was like, okay, I get it. Everybody loves The Holiday.
Yeah. We got you. We all agree The Holiday is superior.
It is one of the best Christmas movies.
I'm going to have to watch it.
You've never seen it, Leah?
I can't.
Jenny, have you never seen it either?
I have seen it. I have seen it. I don't watch it every year, but I have I've seen never it a watched few it. Times.
Our family has the tradition Wednesday. Of chicken Alfredo on Christmas Eve because of that movie. I make homemade chicken Alfredo, chicken fettuccine Alfredo every year because of that movie.
We watch Die Hard and Star Wars, like...
Yeah, I'm an old soul. I watch.
And now we eat pizza for Christmas. So
it's a wonderful life, and it has to be in black and white.
And National Lampoon.
Okay. You guys are weird.
Why is the carpet wet? God.
I do like that one. Yeah. I really like Home Alone, too. I mean, like Home Alone also.
Not we do Home too. Alone. Like, that's my kids one. Love Home Alone.
I'm not an Elf fan.
I watched that for the first time last year.
It's so stupid. But I'm not a Will Ferrell. I'm not a Will Ferrell fan. Yeah,
I like Elf.
It's so
stupid. But I like Will Ferrell a lot and James Caan. And James Caan in a comedy, it's just amazing.
Also, if you haven't watched it on Netflix, the Will Ferrell with his friend.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds?
No. Not Christmas. It's not Christmas. It's the Netflix special
documentary
of Harper and Will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
10 out of 10 recommend. If you haven't watched it, it's very well done. Anyway, thank you for listening. We will see you back here on Sunday. Until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.